Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Well, we hope everybody had a great weekend and a great Thanksgiving. Hope it was a great time with your family and friends. Welcome into ABQ Connect. Before I go to our speaker today or our guest today, I want to remind everybody that Eric Metaxas, who airs live on this station immediately following ABQ Connect, he is going to be in Albuquerque Friday, January 17th. It's a night to honor Steve Collins from Trinity Seminary, comedian Brad Stein, and it'll be hosted by Pastor Skip Heitzik of Calvary Albuquerque. It's going to be held at the Marriott Pyramid. It's going to be a really fun night. A lot of comedy. Eric Metaxas, as you know, is an author, national speaker, a syndicated radio host. So it'll be a special night, so stay tuned to ABQ Connect and KNKT 101.7. 107.1, I guess I should not direct people to our sports radio station, but to us. Eric Metaxas will be here in town, so mark down your calendar, January 17th, and we'll have information about tickets coming up in the coming weeks. Dr. Brian Nixon, Associate Pastor and Director of Publishing and Education with Calvary Albuquerque in studio today. Brian, welcome.
Great to be with you as normal, Jim.
You enjoy the snow?
Oh, loved it. Eating some good turkey?
It
was great. Had a fabulous Thanksgiving. Hope yours was a blessing as well.
It was. All the skiers around are all fired up. I'm noticing that Wolf Creek already has like 5 feet of snow and Taos
and Purgatory and Durango. Amazing.
Well, it's amazing. We have a very special place we live, Brian. I'm always trying to encourage our listeners to get out and about. I mean, if you're not a skier, be a hiker or a snowshoer or a
Anyone who knows me, Jim, they know I love New Mexico. Yeah. I mean, even though I was born in California, I love New Mexico, and I agree with you. This state is full of wonders. It's a beautiful place.
Brian, I'm blessed by our conversations we have on the radio, and we do it fairly frequently every three or 4 weeks because you are able to address on a spiritual level, intellectual level, emotional level, the things that Christians wrestle with, and we wrestle with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wrestle with doubts in our faith. We wrestle with issues that come up with our friends. We're sometimes accused of having hate speech just because we want people to live with God eternally.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all things that a lot of us don't understand. A lot of us need answers. Sometimes people are afraid to ask the questions. So I very much appreciate that you're here today. And we've got a tough subject today.
We do.
We're going to be talking about universalism, and that is a concept where, you know, do all roads lead to heaven? And I'm going to start right away with you giving us a definition of universalism.
Yeah, Jim, I appreciate you picking this topic because it is a topic that has had a huge resurgence the past really 10 years. And we seem to be at a huge tipping point right now. A lot of people are on the universalist bandwagon. As a matter of fact, one scholar of universalism said there's a lot of fish in the universalist pond right now. So, to answer your question, universalism is the belief that all humankind will eventually be saved. Mm-hmm. So every human being will be saved. And in the biblical concept comes from the Greek word apokatastasis, and it means restoration. So other people would say universal restoration. But the only place in the New Testament where this Greek word is used is in Acts 3, 19 through 21. And it's defined as restitution and or restoration. But to answer your question simply, universalism teaches that all humans will eventually be saved.
Mm. And that could be any religion, an atheist, a criminal, or anybody that God has placed on this earth. Universalists believe that they will ultimately be reconciled to God.
Yes. And no. And this is where it gets confusing, Jim, is universalism actually has a variety of branches, if you will.
Okay.
And so it's very difficult to say that some universalists would say that all human beings will be saved, but not all salient beings. So demons and angels and everything. Other universalists say, no, angels, demons, everyone's going to be saved.
Mm.
So there's themes and variations in universalist mindset.
So ultimately there is a God, though, in a universalist concept.
Oh, yeah.
There is a creator, divine creator. So in some ways that has some commonality with a typical Orthodox Christian.
Sure, sure. You know, here's how I like to describe it. You know, I'm often asked, are all universalist beliefs the same? And I would have to say no. And I would just say there are two general overarching types of universalists. There are Christian universalists and non-Christian universalists. And for our listeners, you have to bear with me here. There's going to be a lot of talking, but I'll try to describe it in a way that hopefully is helpful. So Christian universalism adheres and believes that Christ is the center. So Christian universalists would say, since Christ is God incarnate, he's the way, he's the truth and the life, Christ is essential for the salvation of all. And within Christian universalism, there's what we would call evangelical Christian universalists, mm-hmm. and what I would deem progressive Christian universalists. Let me define them. An evangelical Christian universalist is the idea that Christ will save all people at some point in the future. And historically, evangelical universalism has been connected to pre-millennial eschatology. So they would say that during the millennial reign of Christ, Christ is going to save all people and then separate the demons, angels, and Satan. They'll be cast into the utter darkness of hell and then save the people. So that is what we would call evangelical. Now, there is, if you will, some biblical support for this. You wouldn't have some godly, smart men and women who believe this if there wasn't biblical support. But as I've said before the break, Jim, it comes down to hermeneutics. It comes down to how we approach and interpret the text. So Christian evangelical universalists are approaching the text in a certain way. So Christian universalism, that's evangelical. There's also another type, and I'm speaking generally here. These are progressive Christian universalists. Progressive universalists don't always agree that there's a literal hell. And they have different understandings of what happens after life. So some would say there's intermediary states, there's a conscious separation from God, and groups that may believe this would be someone like the Roman Catholics who believe in purgatory, Eastern Orthodox, Christian mystics, Unitarians, Quakers. They would be more of the progressive Unitarians. So they would believe basically all religions sooner or later are going to make it to heaven. Whereas evangelical Unitarians say, no, it's through Christ. So that's Christian universalism. The second major type of universalism is non-Christian universalism. Mm-hmm. And this is where Christ is not unique. He is not central to the plan of salvation. Christ is just one of many paths to God. And so non-Christian universalist teaches that all roads lead to God. So you would have aspects of Hinduism, Sikhism, Native American Church, Baha'i, Reformed Jews. Many, many other groups fall within this area. And of course, there's no biblical basis because they're not using the Bible to explain their religious traditions. So people need to understand there's Christian universalism and non-Christian universalism. Particularly evangelical Christian universalism would disagree with both the progressive Christian universalism and non-Christian universalism. So it's not as cut and dry as some people like to think.
Brian, it seems to me that if we are to consider this honestly, and I appreciate you saying that there's some biblical basis for some of the Christian universalist beliefs.
Sure.
But then you're also going to talk to us a little bit about hermeneutical principles, how scripture should be interpreted in a historical grammatical mm-hmm. context.
That's right.
And you also have a vast knowledge about how the church has considered these issues
right.
over, you know, thousands of years.
Right.
So we got a lot more to talk to with Brian Nixon. Stay with us. We'll be back after these messages.
Celebrate the true meaning of Christmas with the 35th anniversary production of Christmas Joy, December 14th and 15th. Tickets at nhccnm.org. A holiday tradition, dancers will inspire audiences to experience the greatest gift, the birth of our Savior. Experience the miracle. Don't miss Christmas Joy at the National Hispanic Cultural Center, December 14th and 15th. Tickets available now at nhccnm.org. Celebrate the reason for the season, Christmas Joy.
Here's Joy Junction CEO, Alma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Do you have an old clunker sitting there collecting dust, rust, and weeds? Donate it to Joy Junction. We would be glad to take it off your hands. Doesn't matter what condition, running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us. We'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help? A time to rejoice for the team at Ramos Real Estate. Elaine Ramos is celebrating 5 years as the qualifying broker at Ramos Real Estate and 13 years of serving the community with her professional real estate knowledge. In appreciation, she's offering a $500 client credit towards closing costs. And team member Eleanor Hutt at Waterstone Mortgage is offering an additional $500 towards closing costs for all sales through December 31st, 2019. Take advantage of this wonderful gift.
I am Elaine from Ramos Real Estate. I am so grateful and thank you.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian, as I'm reading through the question list that we put together in preparation for the show, and by the way, I always appreciate your preparation and how thorough you are about that. It helps me a lot, but I think I'm going to have to go up to about 16 font now because seeing these papers is just becoming...
It's tough. I'm with you. I'm with you.
It's just crazy. So Brian Nixon, Dr. Brian Nixon, he's Associate Pastor and Director of Publishing and Education with Calvary Albuquerque. Brian, your job is reading books.
A lot of times it's reading books, leading education, and helping get these books written, right?
Brian, as we talk about universalism, I want to ask you, and I know you can't know the hearts of people that are out there, but it seems to me the motivation is for people that are kind-hearted. They want to include as many people into heaven as they possibly can.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, actually, Jim, going back to our last break, you know, there are various strands of Christian universalism, and a lot of it is hopeful. A lot of people are going, boy, I sure hope that is true. People want all people to be saved, and that's a beautiful thing. My approach, though, has to be cautious, because what the Bible doesn't clearly teach, we need to have a humble hermeneutic. We can never say, oh, this is it, undefinitely, because, you know, there's themes and variations. So we have to say, here's what I think the vast majority of scholars, this is what the grammatical historical approach to it would say, but there's a chance that I may be wrong in my interpretation. So there's a lot of people who are very hopeful that all people will be saved, but to teach it as such, we have to be very, very careful. You know, it's interesting, Jim, that in 553 AD, at the Fifth Ecumenical Council of Constantinople, they debated universalism. So universalism has been around for a long time, and they denounced it. Well, at least they denounced what I just described as progressive or non-Christian universalism. They didn't really deal with what is called Christian universalism per se. But it's been around a long time. There's a long history of universalism.
Well, this subject is so large and so broad.
It is.
I really want to try to concentrate on Christian universalism.
Sure. Okay.
But before I do that, I'm going to try to give an analogy that may be fair. I think it's fair. And that is, let's say, for example, that you have a large sum of money and you want to know how to invest that wisely to be an asset to grow and to take care of your family, and you're very thankful for having received it, et cetera, et cetera. And let's just say that you have a well-intentioned friend that watched a YouTube video on how to invest money, and now you're seeking counsel from that individual on how to invest money. Even though that person is well-intentioned, that's all the background they have. I think that everybody would see where I'm going with this, that counsel is not necessarily something you can depend on.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, I have a guest frequently on the program. His name is Brian Cochran, and Brian is an investment advisor and stock broker and investment broker with his company, and they do, you know, they sponsor Rob West program with Kingdom Builders and so forth on KNKT. And he has a vast background on advising people how to invest money wisely. And he has experience, he has background, he has assets in his company where people know about bonds and stocks and everything else. And so my analogy is there's been a great deal of study and preparation. So when it comes to your salvation, how much more important is that to counsel somebody wisely?
Right.
And just because you hope everybody's going to be okay and be with God for eternity, I would be really, really nervous about someone that didn't investigate the things we're talking about. And really all we're asking people to do today is not to necessarily believe everything we talk about, but to investigate.
Exactly.
To look into it.
Yeah, and that's a great analogy, Jim, because what, you know, I do believe in the humble hermeneutic that, you know, a humble hermeneutic is saying, hey, I could be wrong in my interpretation. However, I need to be cautious. I need to not read into something scripture doesn't say or teach something that scripture is not promoting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I appreciate that you want to keep this, this program focused on Christian universalism, because really that's what most people in the popular realm are dealing with. Most people, I think most Christians, though there, I would say there are some that, that would be non-Christian universalists, but most people have been reading certain books that are popular, be it Rob Bell's Love Wins or, you know, Sinners in the Hands of a Loving God. Mm-hmm. These are popular books that are out right now. And then they learn from these books, wow, universalism has been around for a long time. And it's true. It's been around since the late first century to early second century. So you could go back to Clement and Origen of these were early church fathers. They lived in the late 100s to early 200s. And they did interpret their hermeneutic, if you will, of scripture, mm-hmm. had universal overtones. And then you had later men such as Gregory of Nyssa, who lived in the 300s. You had someone like Isaac of Nineveh, who lived in the 600s. Both of these guys taught universalism. They approached scripture from a universalist standpoint. And then in the 1500s, it really starts to open up, particularly through a guy by the name of Jakob Boehme, who was a German Lutheran mystic. And then once you hit mainland Europe, it goes crazy. You have brethren such as Alexander Mack. You have William Law, who is an evangelical Anglican. You have Gerard Winstanley, who is a Quaker. You have James Reilly, who is a Welsh Methodist. The point is, a lot of denominations, a lot of people started to interpret scripture based upon a universal lens, if you will. And then even here in America, Hosea Ballou and John Murray started a separate denomination based upon universalist principles, and they called it the Unitarian Church. But here's something I want to point out, back to your analogy, Jim, is we have to be very careful. Just because someone says something doesn't mean it's necessarily true. And we have to search the scripture. We have to read the scripture. And here's something else our listeners need to know. A lot of times, universalist thought is connected to heretical thought. Now, I'm not saying that some forms of universalism is heresy per se. It's just a different hermeneutic, how they're preaching text. But a lot of times throughout history, their universalist ideology is connected to heretical things, such as a lot of the people in the Unitarian Church denied the Trinity. A lot of these other people denied other core aspects of the Christian faith. So what you get a lot of times is universalism jumbled up with heretical teaching. And so it makes things very, very confusing. That's why I bent over backwards at the beginning to say there are different strands of universalism. And then today, there's countless of universalists. You know, Matthew Fox from his Cosmic Christ perspective, Gary Amerult, who you know through the Tent Makers, Johannes Stenberg, who runs a Mercy Upon Us All website, Richard Rohr, who lives here in Albuquerque. He's a Franciscan perennialist, which is a type of universalist. You have David Bentley Hart, who's an Orthodox. You have Rob Bell, who, you know, was on the New York bestseller list. You have proponents of radical orthodoxy, a gentleman by the name of John Milbank, and the list can go on and on. it seems to be that universalism is resurging. It's kind of the hipster Christianity right now.
And in some ways, the motivations for that are good. The interesting thing to me is the Bible actually talks about the gospel of Jesus being brought forth by people that are not well-intentioned.
Right.
And yet God still brings people to him.
Exactly. The Lord will use it. And I don't blame what I would call a hopeful universalist. I mean, I think any Christian who doesn't want all people to be saved, you really have to scratch your head and go, really, is that loving? No, you want all people to be saved. But whether or not our want is in line with God's will, that's another question. So, and then people will go, well, it's God's will that all shall be saved. I mean, that's what Timothy says. The Bible clearly says God wants all to be saved. Therefore, his will be enacted. And that is one of the scripture verses that universalists do use. But you have to understand when you're talking about God's will, Jim, there's three. There's his perfect will. Mm-hmm. That is which will happen. Christ is coming again. There's nothing we can do that's going to change. Then you have his prescriptive will. God's will is that you would do this, but you may not do it. Such as God's will is that you will receive Christ, but you may not do it. Why? Because in his permissive will, he allows human choice, human freedom. Mm. So there's his perfect will, prescriptive will, and permissive will. And so when someone says it's God's will that all shall be saved, well, then you really have to say, well, is this his perfect will? Is this his prescriptive will? Or is his permissive will? And I would have to say it would be his prescriptive will, that this is what he wants for the world, but maybe not everyone's going to do that. Again, it comes back to a humble hermeneutic. We have to approach it cautiously and carefully and give scripture the benefit of the doubt.
Dr. Brian Nixon, he is in studio with us talking about universalism. We hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. Lots more to talk about this afternoon. We'll be right back.
Hey, I need to get in shape. I'm tired of the way I feel.
Then Designer Body's world-class gym is for you. They are family-owned and operated, and their passion is to lead by example while empowering you to achieve your absolute personal best. The professionals at Designer Body's world-class gym offer gym memberships, personal training, and nutrition management in an atmosphere of fitness, faith, and fellowship. For more information, call 899-1700. That's 899-1700. Or visit us at our website, www.designerbodies.com.
This Christmas, you can give a poor family in Asia something practical, like a water filter, a sewing machine, or a goat. When your family sends one of these gifts to a poor family in Asia, your gift gives help and gives hope. With a sewing machine, a mother can make clothes to sell. With a water filter, a family will have uncontaminated water. With a goat, the family can sell milk and cheese and start a small business. Most importantly, when Gospel for Asia presents these gifts from your family to a poor family in Asia, you open the door to share the good news about Jesus.
Call 855-572-4628. That's 855-572-4628. Or go online to knkt.com. Click on the Christmas Critter Campaign. That's online at knkt.com.
Ladies of Calvary, get ready for the annual Winter Gala and Lovely Market. Join Sheology Women's Ministry for Feliz Navidad with inspiring speaker, author, and mentor Debbie Alsdorf on Tuesday, December 3rd. The Lovely Market will be open at 3 p.m., so come early and take care of your Christmas shopping. Tickets must be purchased in advance and are available online at calvarynm.church. Come with expectant hearts for a fun-filled evening. We look forward to celebrating the season of Jesus' birth with you.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. I want to remind everybody that Gospel for Asia's Christmas Critter Campaign is an opportunity to send practical gifts to needy families in Asia. Livestock, sewing machines, bicycles, or Jesus wells can all make immediate and long-term positive impact on needy families. Give a gift, be a hero. Call 855-572-4628 or visit our website between now and December 31st. That is knkt.com. It's the Gospel for Asia Christmas Critter Campaign. It's amazing what a goat or some other animal can.
Yeah, it's like Heifer Project. Heifer Project does something very similar. They started that years ago, I think the 40s, and amazing, amazing ministry that's grown out of that.
You know, as we talk about these kind of things, Brian, and talk about Gospel for Asia, I sometimes wonder if Americans need to step back a little bit and think about simplifying our lives, mm-hmm. and how we eat and all of these different things.
I agree. I mean, there's, you know, historically, simplicity was one of the hallmarks of Christian spiritual formation, you know, of living a simple life, detaching yourself from materialistic gains, not always be shopping, but learn how to use things for the benefit or do things for the benefit of others. And Gospel for Asia and Heifer Project are both tremendous ways to do that.
Yeah, it's amazing the things I hear from missionaries that mm-hmm. go overseas and they go into third world countries and they come back really humbled.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing to see
it is.
God's
it really
doing.
Is. I agree.
Well, Brian, you're in studio. We've been talking about universalism, and, you know, this is a tough subject.
It
so
is.
Here we go. What does a universalist do with the concept of hell?
Well, the answer is it all depends on which area of universalism the person subscribes to. So going back to my general, and again, we're just focusing on Christian universalism
here.
So the evangelical universalists, they believe that a person goes to a literal hell, that a person, when they die without receiving Christ, they go to hell. Hell is a real place. And the person stays in hell, if they're premillennial in their eschatology, until the millennial reign, whereby Christ will then save all humanity. Mm-hmm. Now, it's been 2,000 years. So if someone rejected Christ 2,000 years ago, they've been in hell for 2,000 years because Christ hasn't come back to set up his millennial kingdom. Christ may not set up his millennial kingdom for another 5,000 years. So you think about it from that perspective, that's a long time of punishment, if you will. So, but then they would say in the millennial age, Christ will come back. So a modern, just because I like to put faces to concepts, a modern person, Jim, who may adhere to this would be a guy by the name of Bernard Eller. Premillennial eschatology. He's with the Brethren movement, Church of the Brethren, who incidentally also started Heifer Project International, which is interesting. But he wrote a commentary where he alludes to that this is kind of his viewpoint. So that's the evangelical universalist. They believe in a literal hell. Someone will be punished, kind of like in prison, until Christ sets up his millennial kingdom. For the progressive universalists, there's a difference of opinion. Some don't believe in an actual hell. For them, it's a spiritual concept, a state of mind, a separation from God. And at some point, the person's mind or soul will be changed. It's really hard to say. Other Christians in this camp believe in like a purging. So that would be Roman Catholic or some Orthodox, that they're kind of purged, and then they're eventually going to be saved. And Roman Catholics have it called purgatory.
But in some way, all of these branches that you've just mentioned believe that all people will be reconciled to God and ultimately with him.
Yes, all three of those groups believe. One believes in a literal concrete hell where there is suffering and pain, that you are being punished for your deeds and not belief in Christ. Other people would say, no, you're not really, that's all metaphorical. You know, it's more of a spiritual separation. My problem with, I have problems with both, but my problem with progressive is that it's very elusive. There doesn't seem to be any biblical support. Whereas at least for the evangelical universalists, they have at least a semblance of biblical support.
Brian, I think the Orthodox Christian would believe that we do not earn our salvation. That's pretty clear in
correct.
In
yeah,
scripture.
I would.
We are saved by grace through faith.
Correct.
So I had somebody ask me, and I was at speaking at a friend's church here a couple weeks ago, and somebody asked me how to illustrate that. So I hope this is a good illustration. I said, hold your hands out in front of you. And I said, I want you to imagine a little gift about the size of a jewelry box with a bow on top of it. Mm-hmm. And I want you to take that gift in your hands. And inside that gift is the forgiveness that is extended to you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is a free gift. You haven't had to pay anything for it. You can either take your hands now and hold it to your heart and say, God, I receive your forgiveness. Or you can set it down on the table and not take that gift.
Right.
So you haven't earned it. It's been given to you.
Right.
It's a present.
Right.
And you don't really have to do anything for it except say, I need your forgiveness, mm-hmm. and I receive this gift. And that seemed to satisfy this saved by grace question that was asked. But Universalists don't believe that you have to receive that gift. They believe ultimately that you are going to be in heaven.
Evangelical Universalists would teach that you have to receive that gift, that you have to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, progressive Universalists may not. Mm-hmm. So that's why at the beginning, Jim, we had to really distinguish between the different nuances of this, because an evangelical Universalist would say, no, Jesus is the only way to be saved. And you are going to hell. You may spend 5,000 years in hell until Christ comes to set up his millennial kingdom. That's a lot of time in punishment,
yes,
people. So they would say, you are going to hell, but you will eventually, because of Christ's love. So I know we need to talk a little bit more, but let me give you an analogy from their perspective. It's very similar to what you said. So they would say that, this is what evangelical, Unitarians would say, is that they would use an analogy. God's salvation is an eternal edict. It's unchangeable. The edict of salvation is found only in Christ. So Jesus is the spiritual remedy to sin. Unquestionably, that's what they would say. But like laws of government, some disregard the edict. So using your analogy, you're offering it, but they just put it down and go, I don't want that. So in doing that, punishment is given. And so they'll compare it to the laws of the land. They'll say, so laws of the land, you're driving down the road and you're speeding, you always speed, you're gonna be punished for that. You're gonna get tickets. And let's say you do something worse. Let's say you go rob a bank, well, you'll go to jail. So the laws of the land dictate the penalty for the disregard of my law, of the laws. So punishment is given to my crime. So they would say, in a similar fashion, evangelical Unitarians believe a person will be punished for not following God's eternal edict, salvation in Christ, and he or she will go to jail, if you will, hell. So on one hand, they're saying justice is being served. A person is getting their due justice. However, they would also teach that during the millennial reign, after Satan's final crusade in Revelation 20, Jesus will set all people free from prison. All names will be written in the book of life. And so they're saying that's where Christ is showing his mercy and love. And only Satan, demons, and possibly the vilest of humans, and they would say maybe possessed humans, will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. So for them, there's both justice. You're getting something for your crime. You went to jail. Mm-hmm. And God's love is shown. So they're saying it's the most responsible and reasonable way to look at this. But again, as I said, you have to be careful because it doesn't clearly always state that in places in Scripture. So you're reading into it at times.
Well, and Brian, we're not just offering all the alternative views. We're going to give what you would consider to be a biblical view toward the end of the program. So we encourage everybody to stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be back with more right after these messages.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Has God shown you that there are things in your life that need to be changed and fixed? Generally speaking, we all have these things in our lives in one shape or another. The difference is if we take care of them right away or not. In the automotive repair world, I've seen this over and over. Catastrophic failures due to people not fixing small issues with their vehicle right away. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we take care of all your vehicle's repair and maintenance needs. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA approved. We are located in Rio Rancho on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And we have free towing to our facility for repairs. Just ask for details. And with those things God is showing you that you need to change and fix, please don't put it off and let these small issues in your life become catastrophic failures. Jesus stands beside you ready to fix all that is broken in you if you will just simply ask him to do so. And he's already paid the price for the repair.
Quality, experience, personal service. Dom Garcia Realty, placing the interest of others first.
EJ and I, we had two properties and the mortgages were killing us, so we were looking for a realtor that was a believer.
Had great references and had a great selling history.
Our pastor referred us to Dom Garcia. We prayed to God that we would not only sell the property, but sell it quickly.
And in 2 weeks, the house was sold. Dom gave us great ideas on how to prepare the properties for selling.
When we signed the listing agreement, we prayed over it with Dom.
Selling experience was just marvelous.
Dom stepped in and got it done.
We are a full-service broker that includes working with buyers and sellers, renting, leasing, management, whether residential or commercial.
Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644, 899-4644.
Se habla español.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are visiting with Dr. Brian Nixon, Associate Pastor and Director of Publishing and Education with Calvary Albuquerque. Brian, thanks for joining us in studio.
Great to be with you, Jim.
As always, we are we're really not trying to be controversial. What we're trying to do
is address a contemporary issue.
And give all the information.
That's right.
And that's what I appreciate about you, Brian. I mean, you've brought books that are written by universalists, and maybe I'll have you maybe state that bibliography again so people can maybe look up these books and read for themselves.
I definitely have a particular viewpoint, but what I do see myself as a Christian educator is to educate. I may not agree with all, but you know, you need to go out and study it. You need to first start with the scripture. You need to go throughout history, what other people have said about it. And then you have to just use your brain. You reason it through. And so it's important. I'm not here to tell you how to think. I'm here hopefully to give you tools to think.
You know, Hebrews 4 says the word of God is living and active.
Right.
And that's the part that I love the most, because if you get into the word at all,
right,
it takes you. It
right.
takes control of you. It you know, and that particular verse in Hebrews 4 says that it is penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, and that it is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of
exactly.
the heart. Exactly. And so again, I kind of use the word magic just because a lot of people understand that better than the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit really takes the word and makes it grow inside
that's
of
right.
you. So we just want to encourage people to read.
Exactly. And start with scripture. You know, Paul calls us to rightly divide the word of truth. And so we need to make sure that before we come to value judgments or judgments of doctrine, we need to make sure that they're biblical and scriptural. And of course, you know, your last question before the break, you know, the concept of hell. Again, various different opinions that are floating out there.
Brian, if there's not a hell, what is the purpose of doing good in life?
Right. So to, let's say, a progressive Christian universalist or a non-Christian universalist, this is one of the main theological questions I would ask. Why do you need to act good or seek good? Why, you know, turn from evil? Why try to pursue a holy life if ultimately this doesn't matter? And I think probably the most important question, Jim, is why did Jesus have to die if it ultimately doesn't matter? So obviously the biblical record there is very, very adamant. Jesus died for our sins, and we must believe in his death and resurrection to be born again.
And it says the consequence of sin is death.
Death, exactly right. And so the clear teaching of scripture is thus. So why did Jesus die for others if, you know, there isn't something? He saved us from something. Jesus saved us from something. So I have a big problem with people who just want to say that there's no hell, because to me it diminishes what Jesus did on the cross. Furthermore, Jim, think of it from a very human standpoint. If fallible humans recognize evil and yearn to punish it, so someone does a wrong, kills someone, that person needs to be punished for that. That's wrong. How much more should an infallible God who knows all things view it? And so I think there's a disconnect with people who don't believe in a literal place of punishment. And as I said, it ultimately downgrades Jesus' sacrificial death. Did Jesus die for the fun of it? No. He died because real punishment is at stake.
Brian, I know there's many stories, and I'm not going to bring up any names because I don't want to be incorrect in what I'm stating, but I know that there have been several very famous criminals, even serial killers, who in prison have come forward and said they are believers in Christ.
Right.
And many of them have displayed a lot of fruit,
you
know, do amazing things in prison for their fellow inmates and so forth.
Right.
And I've even heard stories of one particular serial killer who said they should never let me out of prison. but I will do what I can for the rest of my life to let people know about Jesus and how knowing him earlier in my life would have totally changed everything that I did.
Yeah. Yeah. And these people, as wretched and heinous of crimes as they did, if they receive Christ, they're born again.
Yeah.
And that's part of God's grace. We don't understand the fullness of that love. But again, that's in accordance with God's, prescriptive and permissive will. He allows certain things to happen, but he will restore, for those people who believe. So it's a beautiful story. We may not understand it fully, but just think of it on a small level. We do things each and every day that deserve, some sort of punishment. We may lie. We may speed. We may scream at our wife or spouse, kick the dog, you name it. All of those may not be as serious things, but they're still against a moral law, and there's punishment that's needed. So I just think people who don't believe in a literal hell, ultimately it downgrades Jesus' sacrificial death. And, Jesus died for something.
Brian, you said earlier that you personally believe in a literal hell. Why do you believe in a literal hell?
Yeah, Jim, there's four overarching reasons why I believe in a literal hell. First is Christologically, and that's because Jesus taught there is a place of punishment. Now, there's disagreement. I'm saying this at the get-go. There's disagreement over what he meant with the use of the word, specifically Gehenna. Mm-hmm. That's the word Jesus used for hell. But Jesus clearly taught there will be a penalty for rejecting him. There's no way around that. Mm-hmm. Multiple scripture verses, Matthew 25, other texts elsewhere, Jesus clearly taught that. So Christologically, the second reason is biblically. The Bible supports the teaching of a place of punishment or a place separated from God, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jim, our listeners need to know there's four biblical words that are used, that have been translated for hell. That's kind of unfortunate that they're four separate words, but we kind of translate them using the same word. If we got some of the nuances, maybe we'd have a clearer understanding of it.
What's interesting is love is similar.
Right. Love is very similar. Yes. It's very similar. So there's Tartarus, which is only used once in the Bible, and it's translated as a place for demons, and that's used in 2 Peter 4 there. And then you have Sheol, which is an Old Testament term, and it's used 65 times, and it's sometimes translated as hell, other times it's translated as the grave, which is unfortunate because it confuses people. Then there's Hades, which is used 11 times in the New Testament, and it's similar to Sheol in that it's sometimes translated as hell and sometimes translated as the grave. So you could see how people are confused. These are different words, but used in a similar fashion. And then there's Gehenna. That's used 12 times in the New Testament, 11 of those times used by Jesus. Mm. Only one time is used by Jesus' half-brother, James. And Gehenna was a trash heap outside of Jerusalem. So Jesus was actually, making an analogy saying, hey, like this trash heap, there's going to be a place of punishment. So why I believe is Jesus taught it, the Bible supports it, but then thirdly, ethically, if there's no punishment, it would undermine justice and righteousness. How do we weigh what's good and bad if there's no recompense for evil deeds? So think of it practically. Practically, why have laws, regulations, and systems to protect people if evil or bad is just an illusion? To wink at unrighteousness is not just. So there must be penalty for wrong behavior. And to say that God is not just or holy cuts against the whole biblical record from early on. One of the main things we learn about God is be ye holy as I am holy. So to say that there is hell or punishment, really, it just strikes me as an odd thinking. And then finally, so there's Christologically, biblically, ethically. The final reason why I believe in hell is theologically. I think it ultimately goes against God's nature, God's simplicity, what we would call theology.
Brian Nixon in studio with us this afternoon. We've got a couple more segments with Brian. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. More about universalism. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Lisa, the owner of Betty's Bath and Day Spa at 12th and Candelaria in Albuquerque. I highly recommend Advanced On-Site Protection Security. We're part of their Security On Demand program. They respond quickly when we need them with professionally trained security officers. And the great thing is we only pay for security when we need it.
Call Advanced On-Site Protection Security for security on demand. 505-897-1307. That's 505-897-1307.
At Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, we believe that children are truly a gift from God. That's why we open our arms and our hearts to children who have been abused, neglected, or abandoned, children who are hurting and scared. Although we have lots of love to give, caring also takes dollars. You can help provide a safe haven for these children by making a tax-deductible donation online at acchkids.org or by calling us at 898-5520.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a safe, loving home for children who have had so little and need so much. We feed, clothe, house, and share God's love with the children who have been missing those necessities in their young lives. There's no charge for the care at ACCH, and children can stay with us as long as they need our help. You can help by making a secured, tax-deductible donation today at acchkids.org or by calling 898-5520. And thank you for blessing the children.
This is Steve Ryman from the KNKT Business Relations Office. Did you know that according to Simmons Research, 72% of Christian radio listeners prefer to buy from a business that advertises on their radio station? 62% say they would shop more at a known business if it advertised on Christian radio. I'll introduce your company to the KNKT listening family. Our listeners make great customers. Email me now at advertise@knkt.com. That's advertise@knkt.com. And I'll show you that KNKT means business.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage, and proud to be your most trusted, locally owned and operated mortgage company. For years, you've heard me encourage you to shop your mortgage around. Well, the CFPB, which is the governing body for all financial institutions, completed a nationwide survey and concluded that 70% of borrowers did not shop their mortgage. And because of this, they overpaid in fees to the tune of $30 billion. The worst part is the survey only looked at fees and not what a higher rate would cost over the life of the mortgage. Never assume your lender is offering you the best deal. And remember that big banks and big internet lenders are the worst offenders, no matter if they mention how highly ranked they are. Don't overpay in fees and don't take a higher rate than what you deserve. Shop around and be sure to include your local trusted lender, Indigo Mortgage. Call 836-5700. That's 836-5700. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. NMLS 188-348.
This is Jesse Dumfrey, your local State Farm agent, wishing you and your family to be filled with love, peace, and hope throughout the year. Merry Christmas from my family to yours.
Jesse Dumfrey, State Farm agent, 505-294-4422. JesseDumfrey.com.
Relationships are one of God's most precious gifts to us. Hi, I'm Bob Lapine. Each day on Family Life Today with Dennis Rainey, we look at what Jesus described as the two most important commandments, loving God and loving each other, especially in our family relationships. Join us each weekday on KNKT-FM for Family Life Today to develop godly marriages and families that change the world one home at a time.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are with Dr. Brian Nixon in studio talking about universalism, and we have had Brian in studio talking about the Holy Spirit, the person of Jesus. We've talked about good and bad. We've had all kinds of theological perspectives presented, and Brian, you're so gracious to include books and references to all kinds of different theologies when it comes to universalism. I think you're being very fair about it. And what you're really encouraging people to do is to get into the Word.
Right.
Look at these books as maybe a commentary on what they're reading, but ultimately the Word is going to be convicting them of where they should be.
Yeah, Jim, let me just throw in some things. You know, obviously begin with Scripture, folks, and get a firm grasp on what Scripture. And of course, I always encourage people to study things historically, grammatically. Study the Scripture historically and grammatically. But if you want, If someone's saying, hey, I'm really interested in this topic, I would recommend that you begin. Now, this isn't easy reading, Jim,
yeah,
but there's a 2-volume book out by a fellow by the name of Michael McClemond, who wrote a history of universalism in the church. Now, Michael is not a universalist. He's a historian. But because it's so popular in the church, particularly since Rob Bell's book, Love Wins, and it went to the Christian bestseller, mm-hmm, he felt it was very important for people to understand the historical lineage. And you know, Jim, if you thought I got crazy with, you know, saying there's both Christian and non-Christian universalists, and I only gave you 2 segments of non-Christian, of Christian universalists, he gives you up to 5 or 6 different themes. So that's how, you know, many strands of this universalism there is out there. But The Devil's Redemption by Michael McClemond is really a good overview of the history. Now, if you want to go, well, what's a book out right now that really promotes Christian universalism? Right now, the popular book is David Bentley Hart's That All Shall Be Saved. David Bentley Hart is an Eastern Orthodox theologian, so he's Orthodox in his theology. And I'm just going to say, I do appreciate a lot of what David Bentley Hart's arguments are. Sometimes I don't appreciate the spirit in which he says it. He could be very mean-spirited.
He's not real happy with Calvinists.
He's not very happy with Calvinists. He's not very happy with a lot of Roman Catholics and so on and so forth. So some of his things he says is, wow, it makes you scratch your head and really want to let me dig into this. Let me see what the Bible has to say. But he's a formidable thinker. And then if you want someone who rebuttals universalist thought, I would turn your attention to Dr. Norman Geisler's 3rd volume of his Systematic Theology. That volume is called Sin and Salvation. And he deals with a whole section on universalism. I believe it starts on page 390, if my memory serves me correctly. And he deals with the scripture texts and some of the arguments universalists use. And he rebuttals that. So I have now presented you a history book and 2 sides to the issue.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to ask you to kind of summarize, if you would, how universalism cuts against the full nature of God. But then I want to talk about Romans 10 before the end of the program. We've got 6-7 minutes.
Yeah, left. Yeah. I think really this cuts to the chase, you know, Jim, about universalism, particularly non-Christian universalism or progressive Christian universalism. They really present a skewed vision of who God is. God breaking God's nature into parts. So you'll hear something like this. You know, God would never send people to hell. He's a God of love. So what that tells me is they don't have a full understanding of the attributes of God. So they kind of think, well, like he's 80% love and he's 20% something else. But this is not the classic biblical view. The biblical teaching of God, as I mentioned before break, is what we call in theology God's simplicity. And God's simplicity just means that God is without parts. He's unified. So God is 100% love. He's 100% just. He's 100% holy. He's unified in all of his attributes. So as the uncaused cause or pure actuality, to use fancy terminologies, God is unified in his being. So to say that God and his love won't punish a person rubs against God's justice and righteousness. So a quandary arises. We have to approach God as God is. He is both love and justice. Therefore, both attributes, his love and his justice, must be at work in his dealings with people. So we've used the analogy of, you could do that, right? People, well, that can't happen. And you go, yes, it can. The greatest analogy are human beings. I love my kids. I have 3 kids. I have 2 sons and a daughter. I would take a bullet. I would be run over by a train. I would die 20 deaths for my kids. That's how much I love them. But I also will punish them when they're all grown up now, but when they did something wrong. So I can love someone, still punish them. And then someone goes, well, that's just a temporary punishment. What about something more long-term? Well, if my kids did something wrong, Lord, you know, heaven forbid ever that they end up going to jail, I would have to support that decision if they were rightfully convicted of a wrong crime, because that's what love does. It understands that love and justice go side and side. So there must be a restorative punishment as a means to accomplish God's love and his justice. So that's why I believe that there is such thing as hell.
And he has actually provided us a very simple, loving way to avoid hell, which is receiving his forgiveness.
That's right. Yeah, Jesus is love incarnate.
Yeah.
And he's provided a means of escape, if you will.
Brian, here's a confusing verse. Romans 10, most Christians are familiar with it, that it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But I hear so many preachers actually teaching the opposite of that, where they finish the statement by saying you will go to hell if you don't do that.
Yeah. And so, first of all, it kind of goes back to, you know, we have to be careful and cautious how we use Scripture and interpret Scripture. We only want to try to interpret or teach what is clearly written in Scripture to the best of our ability. And it doesn't say that, you know, if you believe in with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will go to hell. It says you shall be saved. So to add something on that is an improper use of Scripture. A person goes to hell by denying Jesus Christ. They go to hell. So the implications may be similar, but don't try to use Scripture to say something it's not. And let's even step back a little bit further, Jim, that Romans 9 through 11, in chapter 10, of course, is in the middle of that, Paul is addressing Israel's rejection of Jesus. Paul is speaking to Israel in these chapters, and he uses Moses and the law as examples. And his main point is that Jews need Jesus just as the Greeks or the non-Jews. Everyone needs Jesus, and if they call upon him, they shall be saved. That's what Paul is teaching.
Awesome. I love that summary very much. I want to remind everybody that Eric Metaxas, who is immediately following this show, is going to be in Albuquerque Friday, January 17th. It's going to be a night to honor Dr. Steve Collins from Trinity Seminary. Brad Stein, the Christian comedian, will be in town for the night, and Skip Heitzik will be the host. He's the pastor of Calvary Albuquerque. The event will be held Friday, January 17th at the Marriott Pyramid, and we're going to have all kinds of ticket details and things out soon.
And let me just say on that, Jim, we're celebrating Dr. Steve Collins, which is marvelous, but Dr. Steve Collins just released a new book, and it's called Harvest Bible Handbook, and it is a basic historical and archaeological look at the Bible. And it is a tremendous resource. Steve and I got together about a week and a half ago, and he was showing me the book, and I was in La La Land. This is a beautiful, beautiful book. And so Steve and my other good friend, Dr. Joseph Holden, co-edited this book, and you need to get your hands on that book. It's tremendous.
Everything you read, Brian, encourage your faith, or some of it discouraging sometimes?
No, I read things, Jim, as I said, that kind of cut against me. I make it a practice to I don't always read things I agree with. Mm. I go out of my way to read things that I would go, oh, this, I don't know if I agree with this. And as I said on this topic of universalism, I read David Bentley Hart's book, and I don't agree with everything he said, nor do I like his approach, but I still think it's important for Christians to know both sides, to understand what it is, all these different strands and streams, and then look to the Bible and go, what is the clearest explanation I could come up? And then allow that to lead, to allow the biblical witness in a spirit of love.
Yeah, Brian, how do we love people that disagree with us? Is that a tough thing?
Yeah, oh, it sure is. And we just do it. We love them. You know, you love them. You treat them as Jesus said it best. Treat them as you would want to be treated. And that's my summary of it. You know, we know it is the golden rule. So you don't want someone to just treat you poorly, or, you know, you're just a moron, Jim, or, you know, or something of that nature. No, you want someone to hear you out, but hopefully you're the type of person that would go, I also want to be sharpened. I want to be challenged. And that's hopefully what loving someone does. You could challenge someone with their thoughts.
Brian, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jim.
We're going to get you back in studio before Christmas. So
let's do it.
Stay tuned. We appreciate everybody joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.